Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to the Mr. B Clothing Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. My name is Chris Williams, joined today by Brent Bloom, making a rare appearance on the podcast. What's up?
I'm no Tommy.
Well, I like you're the podcast guy. You're Maverick, I'm Goose.
Yeah,
this is how we work.
The original.
But you are so busy now. Like, I feel bad making you.
No, I appreciate that.
You have a wife?
Yeah. A dog.
You have a dog?
A day job.
You have a day job. So it's like and you're like traveling to Stillwater on Friday. So like, I feel bad making you come out to Bondurant.
Well, when I do get to come to Bondurant, it's always a good time.
And it's always a beer when we
get a beer out of the deal. I cannot complain.
Folks, today is a busy day. Tonight is our Cyclone Fanatic basketball tip-off party, the annual event at the Cake Stand in West Des Moines. 6 o'clock start. Special guests will be in attendance. Plural, special guests will be in attendance.
And not just you and I.
No.
Although we're special.
Semi-special. Yeah. No. Special in a different way. It's going to be a hopping party, Bloom. $3 beers, half off wings. That's not the only event today. Men's Basketball Media Day is this afternoon. This is a big deal because it tips off the basketball season. And that's what we're going to do at the Cake Stand tonight. We want you to join us. So we're going to do all basketball today. It's our Basketball Media Day preview podcast. How ridiculous is that? You know you're a niche site when you're doing preview podcasts for Media Day.
I cannot wait.
People want to hear it, though. People are pumped up about hoops.
The most expectations for the team since 1997. So that's why everyone's excited. They have not been in the top 15 in the preseason. I think they'll either be, what have we seen them? We've seen them at 10. We've seen them at 13. Someone had them at 18 the other day.
What did they have them at? The Wayne Morgan team?
They were 23rd.
No, but I remember in like an athlon or something like that, they were like
top
15.
Somebody had them in that.
Well, whatever. It's not. That, it doesn't compare to
And that didn't end well. So let's not think about that. That was 05-06.
Correct. That was nasty. He got canned. Because of that year. But Media Day is today. Rob Gray and I will be there, of course. You can follow us on Twitter, Chris M. Williams, or the Cyclone Fanatic. I doubt Rob will be tweeting during the press conference. There won't be much news. We'll probably get some suspension news on Matt Thomas and Abdul Nader. That would be my guess, 2 or 3 games tops. My guess is 2 regular season games in the exhibition. That would be my guess.
What should make that Georgia State game interesting?
That Georgia State game is going to be tough. In fact, I was coming, kind of working on our basketball. Now that we have Rob, we can actually kind of space. We don't both have to be at every game all the time. And I was slotting that game out, which we'll be at every game during the Big 12 for sure and all the marquee non-conference games. But Georgia State, I'm listing as a marquee game.
Remember the guy that broke his leg?
The Louisville guy.
He's on that team now.
They got all sorts of other transfers.
Yeah. Now Iowa State should win that game, but this isn't. Remember they opened up with like North Carolina A&T last year and just blew the doors off them. Yes. This will be a good test right off the bat.
Yeah, it really will.
They'll find out right away how good Iowa State is with that Georgia State team.
I was on KXNO with Ken Miller yesterday, and Ken asked me. So the 2012 team started off. Yeah, the Royce team started off slow.
It did.
Last year's team, not so much. You know, they beat Michigan
13-0 whatever it was.
Yeah. He asked me what this team would be like. I don't think this team starts off slowly. You know, here's why. Two guys, George Niang and Naz Long. I think for the first time, really, since Hoiberg's been here, you've got two natural leaders. But not more importantly, they're vocal leaders. So if Melvin Edgem got pissed off at something that a transfer was doing during practice, I don't know if Melvin Edgem would have said something. I think Melvin would have been very annoyed and probably would have copped an attitude. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But I think if George Niang sees a guy, if Bryce DeJean Jones is doing something not the Iowa State way, I think George Niang gets in his face. And I think Naz Long backs him up. And I know those other guys, have the utmost respect for those two. I don't think chemistry is going to be a big deal with this team. I really don't. I don't see that.
Well, that's definitely why. No one talks about Naz, but he's almost as much of a leader as George is. Now, George's production is a little bit bigger, but it's weird that Naz is only a junior. You got two more years with him, too.
Yeah.
But basketball-wise is what I look at it, and the chemistry is obviously important. You've got some holes solidified already. You know your point guard is going to be. Going to be Monte Morris.
Yes.
You know George Niang is going to be your most productive player, most likely.
Yes.
And you know Naz Long is going to be his role. So you wonder what DeJon Jones is going to provide. He'll probably start. I'm actually anxious to see what Fred says about what his rotation thoughts are. Then you have the Hoag, Nader, McKay rotation. How's that going to work out? But you don't have issues with who's handling the ball. That's why I thought last year they might start slow, because you were bringing a new point guard in DeAndre Kane. Monte Morris is a leader in a different sense. He's not a real vocal guy, but you know he's getting the ball, and that makes you comfortable as a coaching staff. Now, the positions where you want competition, I almost want it at that 2 spot and that 3 spot, because those are your explosive positions where the guys can battle. But Monte can still put him in the right spots.
I think Naz Long is going to be fierce competition for Bryce DeJon Jones.
I agree there. And then I'm the Hoag, Nader, McKay. McKay's a little different than Hoag and Nader, but those guys are playing similar spots. We know George Niang is going to play, and he's going to be really productive. So you've got your post guy for sure. So you got Niang. You've got your point guard. And the other questions are up in the air, but I think it's healthy competition. And these guys, from what it sounds like, you would know more than I, are really getting after it on the practice floor.
Well, and that's the one report I keep getting from my birdies about these practices is this: how intense they've been, and how it's a situation where even in like in a practice drill, a guy doesn't want to be taken out for another because they, you know, in their mind they're competing for that spot. It's never really been that case in the past. I mean, last couple of years, it's like, you know, they're going 7-8, and that's it. They're
correct.
Not going any deeper than that.
It could become a problem if you don't use it the right way, or it could be Kentucky's had depth forever.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem for them.
I'll say this. I don't see it being a problem, but I also know the type of guys we're talking about here, and I would not be surprised if there's a guy in February who's feathers are a little ruffled. And I don't know who that's going to be. But I feel like just the way Fred coaches, I still don't see Fred going a 180 here and playing going 11 deep.
I don't think
that happens. I think somebody at the end of the year, I'm not saying they transfer, somebody's a little ruffled and Fred's got to pull them in March and be like, hey, we need you. You need to keep it. If it's a Sherron Dorsey Walker, if it's a Matt Thomas, if it's a Clayton Custer, you know, I just feel like somebody along the way, even an Abdul Nader, I think that he's a guy who, with the off-the-court problems, probably set himself back. He's a guy who I thought, Brent, he could be the Big 12 newcomer of the year at one point. I don't know if I would say that now. People are going to construe that as me saying that, you know, that I'm expecting a bad season from him. I'm just saying he's got that potential to be the Big 12 newcomer of the year, but he really hurt himself, I felt like, in the offseason. So now he starts the year behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. What if he's not playing a lot by game 8? And this is where Fred's really going to have to do some coaching that he's never done before.
There's only so many minutes to go around.
Yes.
And he hasn't had that problem yet. We know the Royce team only had 7-8 guys. Last year's team had 7-8 guys. The year before that, you know, the Lucius Clyburn group, same story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sherron Dorsey Walker was the odd man out on both those last two teams. I don't know if he is again, but they've got more bodies this year in more places, which is the positive there is it makes them a more versatile team. Jameel McKay changes the whole way that team can operate defensively because it's finally a guy that can block shots on the interior. My biggest question is the minutes, for one, and then two, how the different look is now with Monte running the point. Because where Iowa State, when they needed a basket last year, they either went to Niang or DeAndre Kane to just bully somebody.
Yes.
And they don't have that this year. Monte Morris is not a bully. He's going to be the table setter, which he's good at. But
nor is Naz if he's in the game.
Yeah, or somebody's going to make a shot. But who's that who's that offense? Like, Kane would get him a bucket when they needed one. Who's going to be that guy? Is it DeJon Jones? Is it Nader to step in? Who is it going to be?
I think it'll be DeJon Jones.
We've heard good things about him. Now, I want to see him play. I want to see him play in a competitive game, because same question about DeAndre. DeAndre's never done it in a Power 5 conference with something on the line. But we found out right away against Michigan, that guy's not afraid to do something in a big game. And I hope we see the same thing out of DeJon Jones.
That was a sweet day, wasn't it, when they beat Michigan?
That's
because the Johnny Orr and
that,
the Edgem. And,
yeah, it propelled them the whole year.
Yeah.
If they lose that game, I think the whole year could be different. I don't think they win the BYU game. And then when you get in a tough situation like they found throughout the year, they could rely on. We trailed Michigan by 6 points in the second half. We came back and won. They built on that. They're going to have some games early.
Yeah, the BYU.
Yeah, they're going to have some games early where they're in a tough contest. And last year's group was special because they found a way. What was the stat? They trailed by 10 or more points like 7 different times and won them all.
Something like that, yeah.
It's going to happen. Where's the fight come from this group? Like, Kane had some fight.
Well, Niang has the fight.
I know he does.
I know that.
And I know Naz does, too.
Yeah.
But Kane and Edgem also had it, and they helped.
An intriguing player to me is Matt Thomas. Did you read the story I wrote about him? It was during the Capital City League. I caught up with him. Just, like, his whole, like, new lease on what it means to be a Division I basketball player after going through an entire season, and he had adversity by not getting the minutes he wanted, and then he gets the OWI. Now he's got to miss a couple of games.
And he also went through a little bit of a slump, basketball-wise.
Yes. Well, and what's incredible at that, because he did go in a slump, but he still had the second-best three-point shooting percentage in freshman history at Iowa State. But people, maybe it was they had too high of expectations. I don't know. But he clearly, though, I think we can sit here and clearly say, subjectively, of course, that when we watched him, he didn't look comfortable out there at all times. And I think that changes this year. I don't know how many minutes he plays. I don't know how many points he averages. But I think that instead of seeing Matt Thomas just thinking out there, I think you're going to see him playing basketball.
He, more than anybody in the Capital City League, the couple times I went, looked the most different.
He looked like he was in control of what was going on.
Yeah, he just looked calm. He added some weight, which helps. He's already a pretty physical kid, but just looked comfortable. He looked confident. And I think he will be much better this season. It's a big leap from La Crosse, Wisconsin, to the Big 12. Now he's been a year in the weight room and everything else, has been on the biggest stage. He played well at times in the Big 12, but just didn't have the consistency. This is the type of consistent effort I think we're going to see from him. He's going to be – the minutes, though, is the question. Well, how many minutes will he play to get that type of run, to grab hold of consistency? But Matt Thomas should have a much better season this season.
Yeah, that might be the biggest story today at Media Day. Minutes.
I want to know.
And I would like to ask Fred, how are you going to deal with that?
Well, remember Iowa last year? Oh, we're so deep.
Yeah.
Deepest team in the country. It ended up to bite them because they couldn't get the type of rhythm you need to play. I just don't see Iowa State play more than 9 guys. So there's going to be 2 people who are not happy, and I don't know who it's going to be.
Quick football notes. We're actually recording this, everybody. Just full disclosure, we're recording this at about 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. Rob Gray reports that freshman running back Mike Warren did indeed have shoulder surgery on Monday, and he will redshirt this season. That's not really important news because he wasn't going to play anyways, but notable football note, and then Jake Knott has re-signed with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Really?
Yes. Practice squad right now. But
good for him.
That's a deal where I knew that there were 4 or 5 teams interested. We talked about this on Sunday on our way home from the Vikings. Teddy football, baby. And that's the best-case scenario because they know what he can do, and they'll get him on the field if they need him.
And he knows the system.
Yes.
No learning curve.
No learning
curve.
Good
for Jake.
Let's go back to basketball now. Again, Media Day today, I believe it starts at 2. We'll have full coverage for you. Jared Stansberry will be shooting videos tonight. The Cyclone Fanatic basketball tip-off party at the Keg Stand starting at 6 o'clock. Going to get nuts. It's always a fun time. And we'll have some coverage from that too. Not too much, but That's why we want you to
just
get out there.
Up, yeah. Yeah. Just $3 beers.
Just show up and go. Have a good time. I don't want to get too much into the Big 12, Brent, because I want the media days to get done. I want Kansas City to get done. And then before tip-off, I want you and I to come back and give our predictions, because a lot can change before now.
Yeah.
Between now and that's why I hate, like, everybody always wants football predictions in July before fall camp. Well, that's a whole different animal. Fall camp, you learn a lot about a program. So I think that's what I want to do. We'll wait until right before tip-off. We'll give our predictions. But I'm going through the preseason magazines here.
Remember the last time we did this?
I think we got into a nasty confrontation about Kansas and Oklahoma State.
With that, and remember Corey Hedgepeth from USA Today?
Yes.
Picked Iowa State 10th.
And I have not seen a USA Today preview.
Just warning you of that.
Have you seen one of those on the newsstands?
No, I haven't seen anything.
I think perhaps it was such a bad prediction that they canceled the magazine.
Did they yank the whole magazine?
The whole magazine got canned.
But you remember that, right?
Absolutely,
picked
I remember
them 10th.
That. Yeah.
Below TCU.
I absolutely remember that. It was
all-timer.
In fact, you know how Twitter just randomly sends you like updates on like popular tweets of yours and stuff like that? Do you get those?
I've seen them, like Time Hop.
Yeah. I got one of those a couple months ago, and like one of my most popular tweets ever said something along the lines of, it was the night you and Crystal got engaged, actually. It was New Year's Eve. Johnny Orr just died. It was the Northern Illinois game. Because I remember my wife and I, we had plans with you and Crystal because you were proposing that night. We had this whole scheme played out. But Ashley and I really wanted to see the Johnny Orr tribute that night in Hilton. So we drove up there, watched the tribute. Iowa State paced Northern Illinois. And we were at the cake stand, and I tweeted something along the lines of, like, where's the douchebag who picked Iowa State? I was drunk, I think. It was a drunk tweet. It was not encouraged. But, yeah, like, and that was the tweet that popped up, but it was in, like, September. Good stuff.
Corey Hedgepeth.
KU alum. I forgot what else he said.
Yeah, creative writer.
Anyways.
Yeah. Magazine predictions.
We'll start with Athlon, my personal favorite preview magazine. The writing in Athlon is just, if you read the Iowa State preview.
I haven't read anything.
The Iowa State preview in Athlon is probably the greatest piece of literary.
Do you know somebody who wrote it?
I don't know who wrote it, it's just outstanding.
That good,
They have Iowa State third. Athlon has Iowa State third. This is the conversation that everybody's going to have.
Yeah,
so Kansas and Texas are a lock at 1-2.
I don't think they're a lock.
It's interesting.
I would maybe move Iowa State ahead of Texas, but that's just me.
It's interesting.
Texas has two big guys.
Now, can I clarify
my
statement?
Three big guys? Yeah, you can.
I have, and this is completely reactionary. We do this every year. I have not looked at these magazines.
Okay.
I'm saying it's a lock in the sense that nobody else is going to have anything but Iowa State at 3 or 4.
Right.
These magazines will not have Iowa State at number 2.
They will.
Texas is number 2 in these magazines.
But I don't think they necessarily should be.
Okay.
Well, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just saying that right now I have Athlon.
They signed that Miles Turner kid and everybody goes nuts.
You're not a fan of Miles Turner?
Freshman big guys aren't locks. Freshman forwards and guards are a higher hit percentage. But freshman big guys, it's not automatic that he's going to change that program.
Sal Boris? Change this?
Over under 8 minutes a game.
Under?
Yeah. And I've never seen him.
I think they should redshirt him. But I don't know if the kid would be too happy about coming over from Greece to sit on the pine.
He's tall.
I think he can be really good, but not right now. We'll see.
He's very tall.
Okay, they have Kansas 1, Texas 2, Iowa State 3.
Oklahoma 4?
Oklahoma 4, Kansas State 5.
Okay, see, the top 5 are on a different level than the bottom 5. It should be the same. That should be the same in every magazine. None of those bottom 5 should be in the top 5. If Baylor sneaks in the top 5, somebody should be let go.
I think that Kansas State is a lock at number 5. They should be.
Right.
Because I think the top 4 are the ones that are, okay, 1 is locked.
Top four are A, K-State's a B,
Yeah.
And then the next group,
Baylor, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, probably a C.
I would even throw TCU in that group too. Okay. I have more respect to TCU than most.
Yeah, I don't hate TCU either. But
Tech's your F.
Dude, the West Virginia team scares me.
As a negative?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be very good. They lost so many guys.
Juwan Staten and a bunch of – they got the Staten, the guy with the goggles, Williams.
Yeah.
And that's it.
They lost Debo.
They lost Henderson. They lost a bunch.
That seems to me like a program that has a virus. You know what a virus is. You got to wait it out. And I don't know. I think that they may – this might be Bob's last year. Yeah. We said that about Holgie too.
Yeah.
Old Holgie, the mullet.
I don't think you can get rid of Bob. He's a West Virginia guy. I don't think you can get rid of him.
But if his team isn't any good again.
Getting rid of Fred.
How much do people care about basketball down there? Not very much. That place was kind of nuts last year when Iowa State went down there, though.
They care.
Would they run a guy off?
I don't think they'd run off Huggins yet.
He gets more time.
He needs like three bad years in a row.
Okay.
He's there for Hoiberg.
Here's the curious thing for me.
Kind of.
Athlon has Niang first team all Big 12.
Right.
But they don't have any other Cyclone in their second or third teams either, which was curious to me.
Who else would you put on there? Monte?
I don't know. I think DeJon Jones is a lock. DeJon Jones is a lock to be at least third team All Big 12.
I don't know about that.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. The way Fred's going to use him, that guy's going to have the ball in his hands so often.
I agree, but what if Naz gets some of those minutes? Does DeJon Jones play the three, and then where does Hogue go? See, this is what we need to figure out. This is the issue. We don't know.
The problem, yeah.
We know Niang's going to play, and that's why and we know Morris is going to play. I do not have a clue how the rest of those minutes will break down.
Yeah, I think Morris is third team All Big 12.
There's some good point guards.
I would take Naz
first team.
I would take Monte Morris on my team over Kenny Cherry. True or false?
I would too.
Iowa State team.
I would too. Yeah.
Cherry's going to put up a lot of numbers
was
at Cherry Baylor.
Cherry second team?
He's second team.
Who's third team? With the Texas kid? Taylor? I like that kid a lot.
Taylor's second team.
Okay.
The guards on the third team are Forte.
Right.
Seldon.
Okay.
And the guard from Kansas. Kelly or Orbe
Oubre.
Oubre, yeah.
So there's no point guards out of that group. I would say Monte is the third best point guard in the league.
Yeah, behind.
Is Kean Anderson in that group anywhere?
Who?
Kean Anderson from TCU?
No.
Yeah, well, he's
nobody
good.
From TCU listed.
It's an interesting league this year. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think you can guarantee DeJon Jones a.
DeJon Jones is better than you're telling people.
Oh, he's good, but how's he gonna? He's got to play.
Oh, he'll play. Because here's the deal: if you bring a guy like that in, as far as a transfer go, he's the highest expectation transfer they've had, right?
Yes.
You look at like
Royce. Royce had some.
Yeah, but Royce though was like still the potential. He's a screw up, and he won't even play.
True.
DeJon Jones is they're bringing him in and. CBS ranks him as the top transfer in the country. That wasn't the case with Royce, was it?
No. And Iowa State already wrote an article comparing him to DeAndre Kane, which I'm not sure is real fair.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and I actually asked Fred about that. I wrote that.
They're different players.
Very much so. Okay, let's move on to Lindy's.
Lindy's. How many we got here?
Just three.
Just three, okay.
And the whole point of this is to see, expectations.
When do we get to write? I want to write a magazine.
Athlon has Iowa State ranked 15th in the country. Lindy's is the highest on the Cyclones.
Yes.
10th in the country is where Lindy's likes Iowa State. Another publication has Iowa State third.
Texas or Kansas first?
Texas.
Texas first.
We got an upset here.
Oh.
Seriously.
Here's the deal with them. I like Taylor. What do they have off the dribble, though, other than him? I just don't know. Jonathan Holmes is not taking you off the dribble.
Turner's
not taking you off. Neither's the fat guy who's not as fat anymore.
I like him.
I like him a lot.
He's fun.
But they don't have a – that's a, my point being, if you're Iowa State and the offense breaks down, you can give it to the Yang, he can create something. You give it to Monte, he can create something. You can give it to DeJon Jones, and we think he can create something. Same with Nader. And that's going to hit a shot. With Texas offense stalls, where's the ball going? You've got Taylor and you've got nobody. You can throw it in the post, but when the shot clock's at two, you're not throwing it in the post. That's my problem with Texas.
This is a shocking call by Lindy's. So they've got the in their conference pick, good news, bad news, our call. Would have been the conference favorite even before adding Turner and Jordan.
So that's Barnett. Stupid. Don't be dumb.
That's asinine.
Don't be dumb.
Yeah.
Come on, Lindy.
I'm fine with you putting him first. Like,
don't,
whatever.
Don't say
but don't,
that.
Don't say that.
Nope.
See, now you're just getting arrogant.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
What
that's...
did they do? So they made the tournament, with the, and they return everybody off the tournament team that beat Arizona State and then got blown out in the next game.
Correct.
Okay.
Do you remember how poorly officiated the Iowa State-Texas game was this year down
there
in Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, just a travesty for those of your kind. Just a travesty.
Well, you know, blind squirrel's going to find a nut every once in a while. Higgins. Hey, let's get that straight. Higgins was not involved with that. Hollywood?
No.
No.
No. Monty Morris, second team All-Big 12.
Whoa.
Now, so now we're talking. Now we're talking. Marcus Foster, Isaiah Taylor, Niang's first team. Nobody else mentioned for Iowa State. Although, yeah, nobody else mentioned for Iowa State. Player of the year, Juwan Staten. I think it's going to be hard for a guy.
It's going to be tough if you finish 8th or 9th.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. But they have West Virginia 6th. They actually have West Virginia up ahead of Baylor and Oklahoma State. I'm not buying LeBron Nash as a guy who can take a team on his back.
That guy's like 35 years old.
He's a good player, but he's not a guy who can lead you very far.
They've got a couple nice freshmen coming in a JUCO. I just, Marcus Smart did a lot for them. And you're right, LeBron Nash.
He's a good player.
Again, comes back to my point. He's not an off the dribble guy. He's like Edgem was.
Fantasy draft, you have the first pick, but you can only take one of two guys.
Oh, man.
Right?
Okay.
You want Foster? Marcus Foster?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Or you like Juwan Staten?
Oh, man. Totally different guys.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Who are you going to build your team around?
Marcus Boom. Foster.
That's cool. I would take him, too. I would
he
take Marcus Foster, too. I really like his mentality.
Great player. Doesn't get enough credit.
All right.
Big fan.
That's Lindy's.
I like Juwan Staten too, but he's more of a scat back type, where I think Foster is a workhorse.
Sporting news. Kansas, Texas, Iowa State. All conference. Boy, they don't do the three teams. Come on, Sporting News.
Lazy. What do they do? One team?
There's one all conference team. With like 10 guys on.
Well, that's silly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. Iowa State only has one conference, all-conference guy, George Niang. However, Bryce DeJean Jones does make the all-newcomer team.
Not McKay?
Nope.
Or Nader? Who is the newcomer team?
Cliff Alexander, Miles Turner.
Oubre.
Oubre, yeah. And Devontae Graham. So,
okay. All right.
Three Jayhawks, Miles Turner, and Bryce. Top three venues, Hilton Coliseum, ranked number 2. That's fair. I don't think you can rank. I'm going to find out where they have Iowa State nationally, and then we can enough with that. Big 12 rank, it's all it gives. So you don't even give us a top 25 Sporting News?
They got a top 25.
Oh, we got a top 25. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Let's see where they have a top 15. Oh, wait a second. That's the ACC rank. This
15
is the problem.
Teams in the ACC.
This is the issue when you don't look at the magazine. Because I truly, like, for the integrity of the podcast, I don't want to look at anything.
I know, I'm sure the listeners appreciate it.
Well, I think that they're interested in the content. And they like
I'm
real
waiting along with everybody else.
Do you remember the podcast last year though when the USA Today got, and we're like, I'm like, no, dude, they really are ranked.
I think
10th.
Goodness, that hasn't happened yet this year.
They have Iowa State 14th.
I'm
so you've got a 15th, a 10th, and a 14th.
People are too high on Texas, but that's fine.
Are you anti-Rick Barnes?
No. He did a nice job last year. But they were they undersold him last year. They're overselling him this year.
All right.
Today's first day of October. We'll talk March 1st, and Texas is going to be like a 6 or 7 seed, and you'll go, you're right. You were right.
I'm kind of angry. The Oakland A's just hit a first inning home run against the Royals.
That's either going to be funny or right on the money.
Yeah, that's kind of why I said it, foreshadowing. All right, wrap this thing up. I know it's a short podcast, but hey, deal with it. Mr. B Clothing Podcast, that is. 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. I interviewed Bill Finnelly on Monday, and I have it's Bill's 20th year.
Crazy.
Yeah, and Bloom, I'm telling you, you love Bill Finnelly as much as I do. You're going to love this interview.
I saw I tweeted at you.
It's like a whole like other layer to Bill. Like, and very few people, and I know you've seen this layer when you're on the road. I mean, he's just outstanding. And I think, here's the thing about them. I don't think they've ever recruited better than they are right now. Ever. I think the sky is the limit for that program right now.
That freshman class is going to be fun.
And next year's class, the 15 class is even better.
Yep.
That girl out of Canada is ridiculous. They're going to be really good. I don't know about this year, but I'm telling you, the 15-16 Iowa State women's basketball team could be insanely special. Final Four special.
They're very watchable, too, this year.
Oh, they're so fun to watch.
Yeah, nice little young guard from St. Louis.
If they have any semblance of a post game.
Right, that's the problem.
They're Sweet 16. If they don't, they're probably 64-32. But, I mean, their guards are going to be really good.
Well, Moody's back. Moody could be really, really, really good. Sometimes it's...
What about those freshmen?
I know.
Did you look at the box scores from Italy?
Yeah.
I mean, the freshmen were leading the way.
Yeah. Fernstrom is the big girl from Minnesota who has to play a lot and has to play well if they want to be good. 6'5".
Yeah.
Lefty. Good player. But worth going and checking out.
Absolutely. Women's Basketball Media Day is coming up on Thursday.
Is it fun, though, to see Bill refreshed? Seems like the last couple of years they brought Billy on.
Yeah.
He's really
reinvigorated. He's a different dude.
Yeah. But it's cool. Fun to be around. Fun to watch.
I think he used the term, and he couldn't talk about recruits, obviously. But I asked him that question. I go, is this the best you've ever recruited? And he said he's really invigorated our entire recruiting process.
Billy knows how to get players.
Yeah. He's doing a nice job.
He is.
So Thursday, I think 4:00 is Women's Basketball Media Day. And then we've got we got bench warmers for the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Kyle Porter.
Oh!
Pistols Firing
guy.
Week. Yeah.
That's right. PistolsFiringBlog.com.
He's going to join us. And
your comparison of Dax Garmon to Steel Jantz is perfect.
You like that?
That's fantastic.
Thank you. It's so true. I've seen enough of him now. I go, man, that looks just like Steel.
See, this is the thing. With Garmon, he can be great. He could throw Iowa State right into that game Saturday.
Yeah.
He throws three. Like, he tries to throw a short window. And
yeah. If you force him with that underneath pass, he's going to struggle.
He's going to fall right into that Wally Burnham wizard trap. Watch for it.
I do worry about if they start. So, against Texas Tech, half of his completions were 30 yards or more. So, like, I'm a little concerned about the vertical passing game in Iowa State's secondary.
It's a concern. But Iowa State covered the deep pass against Baylor, okay.
Yeah.
They had two of them. And then they had a couple of dumb, not missed tackles on those wide receiver screens. But their line is not great right now. They can't really run it. So, I don't know. It's going to be tough for Iowa State to win, but if Garmin throws it to him three times, it could fall into the wizard trap. I'm just saying.
Dude, I said this on Cyclone Reaction Saturday night. I think Iowa State can win this game.
Could be a sleepy morning.
Yep.
It's hard to get excited for Iowa State to come to town at 11 a.m.
Yep.
So
I think it's a really good game.
Could be a trap for the Cowboys. And I don't know how good they really are. I think they're fast. They've got great speed all over the place. But how good are they?
We'll see. Bloom.
Find out on Saturday.
Thank you for your time.
Basketball's almost here. I'm excited.
Hey, also Thursday night is the Vikings-Packers. You going to stick around and watch the game?
I will stick around for a little bit. I'm not quite a Vikings fan yet.
You're getting there, buddy.
I'm close.
I saw you cheering. You were yelling Skull Vikings on Sunday.
I like the Teddy.
He's really good.
Oh, he was fun.
He's Brent Bloom. I'm Chris Williams. Thank you for listening to the Mr. B Clothing Podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. Hoops Media Day coverage coming up later. Join us tonight at the Cake Stand for the Cyclone Fanatic tip-off party. Women's Media Day tomorrow. Busy week. Thanks for tuning in.